Hey, this is Chris. Hope you're doing well, and welcome to Popcorn Finance, the show where we discuss finance and about the time it takes to make a bag of popcorn. Part of why so many of us are afraid or stressed and have all this anxiety around money is that we weren't exposed to it. I mean, part of it is a lack of money. I know I've been broke, so not having money adds a lot of stress too, so I'm not going to negate that part. But also the fact that you just don't know anything. You just thrown out into the world and expected to just function and open up these accounts and manage everything for the first time. That's a lot to take on. So today, I want to talk a little bit about how we can maybe remove some of that fear by helping the younger generations get started a little bit earlier. And to help me do that, I'm joined by Nasima. She's the host of Financially Intentional Podcast. And you got a really interesting technique that you're using for your kids. So first of all, before we get into any of that, thanks for joining me. Appreciate you being here.
Of course.
You told me that you're doing something to kind of help your kids get started on the right foot and get rid of some of this fear with this three account structure that you use for them. So first, it's a 529 plan, a Roth IRA, and then a custodial brokerage account. Before we even get into all of those terms and what they mean, what made you decide to start doing this for your kids?
Well, I started investing kind of later in life. I didn't even learn how to invest until I was 36. And when I finally learned to invest, I was like, it's hella simple. And so I was like, I can teach this to my kids. And so I did start teaching it to my kids, age appropriately, of course, but it's not something that they couldn't grasp. And I know that, like you said, a lot of fear around investing is because of this intimidation factor, because I felt like it has been put out there as something that is hard, and it's really not. And I think it's done intentionally so you can pay for services, but that's another story for another day.
No, I agree. Like, a lot of times there's all these terms thrown out there, all you need to hire this person, that person, to do something that you really could do all on your own. I love that you're like, you went in at an older age, you tried doing this. You're like, no, it's not even that bad. And I think that's what people need to hear. It's like, this doesn't need to be something crazy and something so simple that even kids can grasp the concepts that we all need to learn how to invest. So I want to know if you could give us a quick rundown of those three accounts that you use and what each of them are.
The biggest accounts that my kids have are their college savings accounts, their 529s. That grows tax-free. And when they go to college, you take it out tax-free. Then there is their Roth IRAs. Now, if a child can demonstrate that they have earned income, they can open a Roth IRA to the contribution limit every year or how much they make. And so because they work in my business in certain capacities, I'm able to give them a salary and then they contribute to their Roth IRAs, which grows into their retirement age. They'll access that when they retire. Then they have the custodial brokerage accounts, which is also called UTMA, or Universal Transfer to Minors account, which means at the age of consent, which in some states is 18, some states is 21, that account then becomes theirs. In that account, though, I do something a little bit different than I would in my other accounts, where I just throw their money in index funds and set it and forget it. In those accounts, they get a designated amount each month where they can pick their individual stocks of companies that they love. So if they like Tesla, they like Apple, they like Nintendo, Roblox, all those things that they would consume, I give them an opportunity to buy shares of. And that's my attempt to teach my kids to be owners and not consumers and understand how they can profit off of people buying things. So, you know, my little capitalism lesson, but it also incentivizes them to kind of assess how they pick stocks so that they can see their returns grow. And at the end of the month, we look and see who has the highest returns and why. And so it teaches them to kind of analyze, you know, the market a little bit. And so that's how I teach them in the back end about investing. But they also know most of their money is in owning all the companies via index funds.
First of all, thank you for breaking that down. And I love that structure. And I'm just going to throw in a couple quick terms here for people, just in case they haven't heard any of the past episodes. So quickly, try to do this in like 30 seconds here. Index fund, that's just a mutual fund, or like a collection of stocks that are essentially in the same proportion as an index that exists. Like you hear about S&P 500, Dow Jones. Those are these big, basically trackers. And so there's these people who basically go through and buy whatever they're tracking in that same proportion and build a fund that you can buy into these accounts. And something like a brokerage account is just like a, think of like a bank account, but for investments, right? You just, your stocks, your bonds, whatever you're investing your money in lives inside of that account. So quick little breakdown there. I have some questions for you. How old were your kids when you started doing this, and how old before you kind of let them in and made them a part of what you were doing?
So when I started my oldest college fund, she was about 3, turning 4. She didn't really know much about it. Once she got to about 7 and my youngest daughter was about 2, I started teaching them about stocks, because my youngest daughter could, when we were going down the street, she could tell me that that was McDonald's. She knew my car was a Tesla. And so once she started recognizing that, I knew she was old enough to talk about it. And so I opened up their accounts and I said, I'm going to show you how to own these companies that you like. Mm-hmm. Now my youngest one is only 8 months. She'll be thrown into the fold shortly. But those two started pretty early. So 7 and 2.
How do you, kind of bring them in and show them what's going on? Because I'm assuming you don't give them like the username and passwords. Like, here you go. Go and log in and check this out.
No, I use an app called Stockpile just for that. The unique thing about Stockpile is, you know how usually you'll see like the ticker symbols, you'll see like the BTSAX or the whatever, or the Tesla, and it'll be TSLA. Like my youngest one can't read. But she knows what a Tesla symbol looks like. And so Stockpile, instead of just having the stock price, it'll have the Tesla symbol. It'll have the Apple symbol. And so they go in every month. They see their cat. The money is deposited automatically, somewhere from $20 to $100 every month automatically deposited. And they go in and they say, oh, that's Apple. She'll touch the screen. That's Apple. Put my money right there.
So she knows. She's already, yeah, this, that's where I wanted to go.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a new iPhone coming out. Go ahead and put it over there.
Exactly.
Why did you decide on these 3 accounts? And then 2, why that order that you mentioned them in? Because the order in which you mentioned them, you told me, is the order in which you kind of like prioritize and focus on those accounts.
If you don't know anything about my story, I paid off $1 million in debt in 3 years. A large portion of that debt was student loans. And that kind of created a visceral reaction into me that I don't want my kids to have to have student loans. And so college savings became a big priority to me. And a lot of people will be like, well, what if your kid doesn't go to college? I recognize that college isn't for everyone and the educational system is drastically changing. However, the money in those accounts is going to grow tax-free, and I'll have access to them tax-free if they go to college, which is a strong possibility. But also, I can use that as a generational wealth tool. Say my oldest daughter doesn't go to college. Now those funds are accessible for my youngest daughter, for my younger daughter and my younger daughter. It can roll through that. It can roll to, like, I could be the rich auntie. If my nieces and nephews needed some money to go to college, I can change the beneficiary. So that's the benefit of a 529. You can always change the beneficiary of that account so that it can benefit someone. But in the meantime, the money is in there and it's just growing. So I look at it like that. Also, they just changed some rules around how you can use a 529. You can take some of that money out and put it into their Roth IRAs, like $35,000. Mm-hmm. And that $35,000 from that account alone grows to 6 figures, almost $1 million, if you just leave it in there from 18 when they retire. So it's too many benefits to not pass up. That's why that's like the biggest account. The second, the retirement account, is actually, this is the last one I implemented, but the one that I'm going to put more money into, is just because I want my kids to have a strong nest egg so that they can maybe take those lower paying jobs or take sabbaticals and not have to worry about investing, because I didn't have the privileges of opting out of jobs that didn't suit me or didn't serve me, and people were hating on me, and you know how it is in the workforce. A woman of color, I had to endure some stuff that if I would have had a safety net, I would have, you know, thrown up to 2 fingers, you know, the FU funds. So I want them to have strong FU funds. And then their custodial brokerage, like I said, I don't like to put too much money into individual stocks, but it is my way to teach them how to be owners. So it's a minimal amount of money that I put in there, just so they can watch their money grow and they can understand how stocks and trading work. So that's how I set it up.
One of the biggest factors for all of us when we're investing, right, is it's time, because it is not a get rich quick scheme, right? You can't throw in $5 and end up with $1 million, you know, a year from now. It's not going to happen. And people try to tell you they're going to do that for you, but I can almost guarantee they're lying to you, or they're doing something illegal. One of those two things probably happen if they guarantee you a lot of money. Yes. So we need time, but often a lot of us, we don't get started until we're older, right? Because one, you're broke, and then you trying to get your first job that may take a while, and then you're probably not making that much money. And so you're trying to like live and survive. And then by the time you start making a little bit more money, you're older. Most people are like in their 30s when they're finally like, okay, I feel a little bit better about how much money I'm making. And at that point, you're looking at, if I want to retire by the time I'm 60, 65, you only got 30-ish years to try to make that work, which is doable, but it's just, it's going to take more money to do that. But if you're already helping your kids now, you're giving them essentially a 30-year head start. So you're basically doubling the amount of time they have to let that money grow, which is huge. And you need so much less money to have a significant amount of money.
Yes. And it's for just a fraction of what they would have to invest when they get older for the same outcome. So, you know, a little bit goes a long way.
I really appreciate you coming in and sharing all this stuff with us and breaking this down. Hope this gives some people some ideas on things that they can try out with their kids. Even if you just start with one account, go there and start making your way through it as you can. But before we get out of here, where can people catch up with you, Nasima? Where can they catch your amazing podcast and go subscribe?
Go head over and listen to the Financially Intentional podcast. I am Financially Intentional on most social media platforms. I hang out mostly on Instagram. Check me out there, financiallyintentional.com. Slide in my DMs. I love to chat. So don't be shy.
I can vouch. You respond to people. You're not just one of those people who just like, thank you, please give me a DM and you never hear from you. You're in there actually talking back to everybody.
Definitely.
All right. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate it again. And looking forward to talking to you again soon.
This is really good, Chris. I love it.
Your boy, keep it popping like Mary Poppins.